As heartbreaking as it was for Zachary Gray's mother to see her son fatally shot in the scene, it's even more frustrating today that the case is stuck. She tells Carol Varell, "My son needs justice, and with no one talking, he's not getting any." Carol Varell's third Cold Case podcast looks at the murder of Zachary Gray and what police are doing to solve it. We'll be back after this. Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that at newsgazette.com we have a ton of podcasts every week, from Brian Barnhart's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's News Hour to Elizabeth Hess, Dave Gentry talking with movers and shakers on their morning show. Head to newsgazette.com and search for podcasts.
Melinda Ellis wears a cross on a chain around her neck to keep her son close. The cross is filled with some of the ashes of her 22-year-old boy who was targeted by gunfire in 2016 in Urbana.
He lives in my heart every day. He's still there. There's not a day that goes by I don't think about him.
Her heartbreak began in the evening of November 10th in 2016, when her son Zachary Gray wanted to see his girlfriend. He was dropped off in the 1200 block of Learman in Urbana. He stopped in an apartment to get a cigarette. While inside, there was a knock at the back door, and a possible setup was set in motion. Urbana Detective David Resch continues the story.
We believe that while he was inside the apartment, there was a knock on the back door, and when that back door was open, he, from what the people on scene said, he recognized who was at the back door and kind of decided to go out the front door. And then that's where he was confronted by what we believe to be at least two people. There were some words exchanged between Zach and the individuals that were out in front of the apartment, yelling at one another, and then within seconds after him going out of the apartment is when the shooting occurred. Multiple shots fired from reports on 911 calls and from people that we interviewed. It was somewhere between 5 and 8 shots.
More than one shooter?
That we're not sure about. The calibers are the same for all of the casings that we found, so it's tough to indicate whether or not there was more than one shooter in this case.
Do you know if the guys that were at the back door were the same guys that came out and went around
yeah.
and shot him?
We don't know that information at all. Depending on who we're talking to, the theories kind of change, and we just don't know. There's no good eyewitnesses that said that the person at the back door was one of the same ones as that at the front door, or if those were two different individuals, or three or four.
A lot of people called 911. Detective Mike Cervantes was a patrol officer at the time and among the first to arrive at the scene.
Gray was in front of 1213, or between 1213 and 1215 South Learman, laying down face up. There was probably a half a dozen people out. One of the people that came out to the road was directing myself and another officer who arrived first towards Gray's body. We saw a couple people around him. One person was doing chest compressions on him. I took over first aid at that point, lifted his shirt or ripped his shirt to reveal a couple of wounds to the chest. His pulse was very weak, so we were losing him at that point, but he was breathing. So, I mean, I talked to him a little bit, but I didn't get any really logical responses. So it was very difficult to say what he was saying specifically.
Zachary's mother, Melinda Ellis, was told her son was shot. Panic and emotions racing, she gets to the scene and can't get the image from that night out of her mind.
And I always see them pick him up off the ground. I can't get that out of my head. You know, seeing your son, it's a horrible, tragic thing that, you know, has happened in my life. I lay down, I go to sleep, and I can see it. You know, I sit there and watch TV, I see it. He's just not there.
People scattered. As in so many shooting cases, hardly anyone wanted to tell police anything, only that they heard shots or saw Zachary lying on the ground, afraid. Detective Resch says early indications were that Zachary was set up that night, probably part of an ongoing conflict between gangs in Urbana and Champaign that led to gun violence and death in recent years. The gun violence that began with the shooting death of Rakim Vineyard in Champaign in 2014. a way of life that Zachary knew quite well, the detective says.
That theory always exists when we have conflicts with the rock block side of things, which is the people that are pro-Rakim, and then the DNG side, which is more the Urbana side. They went by the Haitians when Zach was killed, and he was one of the, I guess, leaders of that group, gang. So, I mean, he was definitely an active part of the confrontations between the two gangs.
So then I guess what you're saying is that this shooting was probably related to the disputes between the two gangs.
Well, in 2016, we had a lot of shootings, mm-hmm. and most of them were related to the conflicts between the Rock Block gang and the DNG gang. So, yes, I absolutely think that this is one of those cases. In doing interviews, there was a shooting, I believe, 10 days earlier that one of the Rock Block members was shot at. And in doing the interviews in that case, you know, Joshua Young, Tyrone Franklin, Zach Gray, those names all came up as being possible shooters in that. So this could very well be retaliation for that. There was shootings over in Champaign that we believe that Zach was probably part of. Zach and some of the other members of the DNG or Haitian gang. So I absolutely think that this is related to that string of ongoing gun violence that is in retaliation for Rakim's death, and then that shooting becomes retaliation for the previous shooting, and it's an endless cycle.
Not only is Melinda trying to cope with the death of Zachary, but gunfire also took the life of her husband, James Ellis, in 2008 in Champaign. And earlier this year, her other son, Tyrone Franklin, was sentenced to prison in the shooting death of Robert Lee Brown. She is all alone now, she says, leaning on her family for support, doing the best she can.
Tell me about Zachary. What was he like?
He was very joyful and happy and very loving, very loving. He loved sports. Basketball was his main thing. He got in trouble, you know, growing up and stuff, but I think all kids do, you know, some more than others. He would act crazy. You know, he'd put a smile on your face when you're feeling down, and he'd talk to you. He was my friend. My son, my friend.
Detective Resch says Zachary was known to carry weapons and had weapon convictions, but he thinks Zachary wanted to change. He just couldn't break away from a lifestyle that he knew.
They grew up living the lifestyle, and, you know, I think that they were all in positions where, you know, serious injury, death, or long prison sentences were what they were looking at. You know, I'd known Zach for a long time. He was in trouble. He had a lot of police contacts, but he was also the type of individual that you could talk to, and at least at the point that you're talking to him, see that he wanted to make changes. I think that a big issue that he had was he had no direction. So he stayed in the same neighborhood that he grew up with, the same problems that he grew up with.
Who gunned down Zachary in November of 2016? Whoever it was is getting away with murder, Zachary's mother.
Honestly, I hope they burn in hell. I hope they burn in hell.
Police don't have much information to work with since that night that Zachary was gunned down in 2016. No guns recovered, no surveillance video, but police do have persons of interest and still need help from anyone who may know something, anything, to help identify the killer or killers and make a conviction stick in court to get them out of our neighborhoods before they kill again.
We've talked to dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and unfortunately right now the extent of the information that we're getting is, you know, word on the street is it's this person. We don't have the individuals that are eyewitnesses or have talked to the shooter that are willing to come forward yet, and that's definitely what we're looking for. We know that there were individuals out there. It's happened at 8:30 in the evening in a highly populated part of Urbana, and we know that there were people out there at 8 o'clock at night. There's always people out at Aspen Court, and we know that there were people that saw what happened and have information on what happened. And we're just looking for those people to step up and come forward.
Please help Zachary. You know, not me, help Zachary to get his murderers and to get this resolved. You know, if they know something, don't be scared. Don't be scared. My son needs justice. And with no one talking, he's not getting any. And I know there's a lot of people that was out there, and I know a lot of people that know what happened.
Hopefully we get to someone that says, you know what, it's time. This is what I saw. And that's what we're really looking for, is that individual that just decides that, you know, Zach didn't deserve to die like this. I'm the person that can help with this. We're looking for that person to come forward, or, you know, if the shooter talked to someone, you know, even if it was, you know, I didn't know if he was telling the truth or not, but this is what he told me. Let us have that information, then we can try to go verify if that's accurate information. I know that there are people out there that will listen to this and say, you know, he kind of got what he deserved because he was in this lifestyle and you know, it was just a matter of time. And I understand that thought, but what you have to think about that would go along with that thought is we still have at least one person out there that committed murder, and he or she is in the community or will return to the community. There's nothing to say that they won't shoot someone else.
Because somebody else could end up being a victim.
An innocent victim. You know, someone could, you know, we've seen it several times where, you know, it's either the wrong target or, you know, just walking in an area. We want to avoid any shootings, any killings, for sure.
But it's difficult for people to come forward with information when they're afraid of retaliation. It's an ongoing struggle. Detective Resch wants to reassure you that the department takes a lot of precautions to keep witnesses safe.
We put resources into place. If someone needs, you know, a hotel to stay in, or, you know, we've helped people move out of the community to avoid the witness tampering, witness harassing, the threats and that sort of thing. We will use resources to help keep the witnesses safe. We're willing to invest money in this case to keep people that are willing to come forward safe.
If you have any kind of information, call Detective Dave Resch at 384-2330, 384-2330. Or you can remain anonymous by calling Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS.
Right now, like I said, there are people out there that saw what happened. And I guess my main focus now is to try to make them feel as comfortable as I can coming forward to talk with us.
But I give it to myself. I've got the good Lord above. And I still have faith that this is going to be resolved. And whoever doesn't come speak up, they're cowards.
I'm Carol Varell.